the way that I had planned. And how many knows that's okay? The Holy Spirit's the main one. Hallelujah. Whatever He leads, I come up with, I think sometimes titles, but you know, God's the one that writes stuff on our hearts. Hallelujah. How many knows He writes, He puts stuff, He imparts stuff by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that leads you to Jesus. He draws you to want to be saved. And once you say, yes, Lord, you know, you come in and you step out of darkness, blinded by the god of this world. Satan is called the god of this world. And before we surrendered our life to Jesus, we served the god of this world, whether we realized it or not. Jesus says, if you're not for me, you are against me. You know, and I thought after I got saved, I would never be against Jesus. But see, I was on the wrong side. Hallelujah. But I praise God for salvation. If you're here listening to me and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, God wants your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But not only that, God wants to reveal a good life for you here while we are waiting on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to get us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's just not being born again. I've been born again a long time. My ticket was paid for. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I've been living a good life for a long time because of following this man called Jesus. Hallelujah. I was thinking about it today. I was thinking, I've got joy that I didn't have before I got saved. Jobs don't go right to suit me. Things in my marriage sometimes have to be worked out in my relationships. But I thought about this scripture today, you know, and I was in the ministry at my church, stayed at that church for 8 years before I started here, been here 22 years, 23 years, it might be 24 now, I don't know. But anyways, I went through some things at church. Have you ever gone through things at church? Yes. You go through trials at church. Well, I was going through trials at church, and I was in on the board and all of that, and they moved me in, seemed like quick to me, within a year or two, and I'm working, doing a lot in that ministry, jail ministry, street ministry, food ministries, different things at my church, just serving. You know, all I was doing was just serving, and I was reading in Matthew chapter 5, and I believe it's down about verse 5, and it says, blessed is the peacemaker. You know, and I was reading the Beatitudes in there. Blessed is the peacemaker. And I made up my mind that day, you know, I'm going to be a peacemaker. I want to be a peacemaker. I was a truth breaker. Now I want to be a peacemaker. That's been nearly 30 years ago. And so every time I would see conflict in the church, I would make a beeline to the people and I would calm the situation down. Because I've seen it in the Bible where it says blessed. Put that up there, Beth. I think it's Matthew chapter 5 that I got. It's in the Amplified. Yeah. Blessed, happy. Come on, somebody. It says, blitzem, whatever that means. Joyous, spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outcome, conditions are the meek, the mild, patient, long-suffering, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, the King James just says, blessed is the peacemaker, for they shall inherit the earth. And I began to study that, and God told me after that, He said, if you will endeavor to be a peacemaker at home, He said, you will have joy. Hallelujah. He said, you will prosper. Prosperity is tied to it. And the only reason is because it is the character of God. You know, The world was in chaos. And he brought peace, right? It came through Jesus, right? Mercy and peace came through Jesus. Hallelujah. And so it says, blessed is the merciful, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. See, we got to be merciful people. We got to be merciful. Have mercy on people, even in their ignorance or in their ungodliness. And the Holy Spirit spoke it to me. See, God's people are supposed to be the most laid back, joyous, long-suffering, meekest people on this planet. We're in this world, but we're not of it. Now see, if you're lost without Jesus, you don't know what real peace. The only peace you know is when you get watching something and you get your mind on it, and that takes your mind off of all your problems. That's about the only peace you're going to get. But the peace of God is with you in trouble. It's with you while you're messed up. It's with you while you're growing, while you're developing. It's with you all the time. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not like the world gives. See, the world don't have this God kind of peace. But Jesus is the Prince of Peace, right? He is the Prince of Peace, hallelujah. And so, endeavor in your life, in your marriage, in your workplace, with your brothers and sisters here, at the nursing home, wherever we're at, endeavor to be the peacemaker. See, and what you're doing and what I'm doing is being like Jesus. And he said here, blessed, happy, whatever that is, joyous, spiritually, you will grow spiritually. What does that word mean? Anybody know what the word means? It's good. It's got to be good, whatever it is. I looked at it and I thought, I can't pronounce it good, so I really don't know what. But you know what? The Holy Spirit's able to quicken me and you to what that word means. Right? He's the teacher. All I got to do is meditate on it and say, God, what does that mean, God? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. But this right here is not everybody. You've got to qualify for this. This is not for everybody. I mean, it is, but there's just not everybody's going to walk in it because they won't endeavor to be the peacemaker. See, when we endeavor to be the peacemaker, then we walk in this happy, joyous, spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor. Well, you know what God's favor is? I'm believing for one job, $55,000. I've been down there and thanking God for the $65 road trips. I've been down there thanking Him for the $145 road trips. I've been down there where $5 a gallon, it took me $20 to go to Coleman and back, and the trip charge was $65. And praising God for the $50, whatever it was. But all the time, praise God, believe in God. Well, you're going to prosper. And you know, we have a real devil that wants to divide. He wants to divide families. He wants to divide children from their parents. He wants to divide brothers and sisters in the natural. He wants to divide because he is, according to John 10:10, Satan is a thief. He comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come, and then if you come in me and through me, he said, I come, you will have life and have it more abundant. The Bible says that he come that we might have life and have it more abundant. I studied that. I thought, what does that mean, more abundant? Well, people told me, well, it's salvation. It's just salvation. That's not true. God didn't just get you saved and not give you power to live here with joy and peace, right, and prosper and occupy the land. Jesus said, occupy, do business till I come. Hallelujah. He didn't say, look at the economy and the stock market and the government and all that and be focused on all of that. Focus on this. Focus on me. Focus on what I can do. If he can roll back the Red Sea, there's nothing he can't do in your life. Hallelujah. If he can dry up rivers, Jordan rivers, for them to cross. If he could walk on water. And then he told Peter to walk on water. Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. He said, come. He got out, praise God, and walked on the water. The natural man walked on. Jesus was a natural man, empowered by a supernatural God. That's just, and he was a demonstration of how me and you are. Because the Romans tells us if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, and it says it does. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead comes into our life. I didn't know all this. See, I always thought that Christianity was weak. People drove and had their Bibles and holy kisses and all of that. Go to church, you know, and all of that stuff, you know. The God of this world, according to the Bible, had me blind. The God of this world blinded my heart, blinded my mind to the good things of God. It says, lest the light of the glorious gospel shines in. Hallelujah. Well, that's what I did that day. I let the gospel come in. I accepted. I said, Lord, if you're really real, then help me. That day I was born again. I thought I was done saved, actually. I'd said the sinner's prayer. But see, prayer don't come out of your mouth. With the heart, man. Right? With the heart, man believes. It's not in confessing. It's in the heart. Lord, if you're really real, I really mean it. Lord, if you're really real, help me. Well, that day he came in me and I've never been the same. Praise God, hallelujah, I've never been the same. Somebody say, never be the same.
Never be the same.
The Bible says when we give our heart to the Lord that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. That means the Holy Spirit put His seal on us. It's a down payment. You study it out a little bit, it says a down payment of the glory that is to come. But you know, some said, I had people to tell me right after I got saved, there's no need in having a house and doing anything because Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. But you know, and I kind of listened to it because I thought, but when I begin to read the Bible, Johnny, when I begin to ask God about this thing, are you right here about to come, you know, or are we going to have to flee in the mountains like they're saying? Bible does say all that. But it's not what the Holy Spirit was speaking to me 30 years ago on the lot. I didn't listen to all of that. I listened to the Bible and I went to church and fasting and praying, trying my best to be real with Jesus. Just be real with Him. You know, you don't have to be perfect, just be real. Just talk to Him. Talk to Him. Talk to the Holy Spirit. You know, have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you know, I was trying to figure out, you know, this Godhead thing. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And then I'm like, who do you pray to, man? The Father, you pray to Jesus. I mean, you talk to God. Satan was trying to get me all warped up. See, Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father right now. Right? And he's making intercession. The Holy Spirit is here, and He's the one that knows the mind of God, knows the will of God for you, knows the mind of God, knows the plan of God for you. And He's the one, as we, through Jesus, I talk to the Lord. And I pray in Jesus' name, and I tell the Holy Spirit, just like I told Him, I said, okay, Holy Spirit, here I am. I'm yielding myself to You. And thank You, Lord, You're going to help me tonight through Your Holy Spirit that's here in this earth. And Jesus done left from up there. How many knows He was in heaven? Jesus was in heaven. And He came to this earth in the form of a man. It stripped Himself of being God. And so, He was actually God manifesting Himself, because He said it this way. He said, if you've seen Me, you have seen the Father. He said, Me and the Father are one. Okay, now we come down here and we begin to walk with God, and God begins to roll out His plan, and He begins to tell us go to church. He begins to tell us fast and pray. Right? He begins to show us. I thought about it. I thought, this church that I'm pastoring, this is not my church. We're the body of Christ. This building is just a place. We're comfortable in here. I'd rather be in here than out there in a mosquito den, getting eaten up by mosquitoes trying to preach, and y'all scratching and all that and spraying yourself with whatever to keep them off, you know. And I thought, you know what? We got big plans and big dreams in our life. The Bible says if me and you will seek first the kingdom and His way of doing that, all these things will be added. How many knows your stuff's in that? Your livelihood, your blessings, hallelujah. I told my mama one time, she said, oh boy, I'm not, you know, this is all I'm going to have, you know, and blah, blah, blah. I said, you're living off of 600 something. I said, Mom, I said, God's bigger than that. I said, Mom, you got to honor God with your money. You honor God. I said, you're limiting God. God understands. I mean, I can't afford. And I said, no, He didn't ask you to afford it. He asked you to honor Him, and He'll show you what He'll do. Well, she began to honor God. My mom, when she passed away, she left all her kids had money left. And the Lord told me back then, He said, you're never strapped. He said, you're not. He said, don't limit me to your job. Don't limit me. Don't limit the elderly to their check and what they can afford. Don't limit them. You preach this word and you tell them that I am no respecter of persons. If I'll increase you in your business supernaturally, I can increase her and give her raises from the government and cause substance to come to her. The Bible says in Proverbs 3 over there, it says, honor the Lord with the first fruits of all of your increase, and so shall your barns be filled with plenty. I had no horse barn, it's over behind my sister's house. Before you know it, I had it filled up with chickens and horses. And then I believed God for a bigger one and a bigger one. And giving all the time. God, what do you want me to give? Who do you want me to give to? See, the Bible says the generous soul shall be made rich. So if you want wealth to come to you, be generous. Just be generous. Travis, he wanted something. I don't know. He wanted to go from a Nintendo to something else when they come out. How many knows they always coming out with something higher, more? All the time, man. Phones went from $39.95 to $9,000. I mean, good Lord, dude. I seen one time, but he couldn't even get it in his pocket. Hello? Hello? I'm like, Jesus, that's a phone, man. That sucker's like a notebook. I'm like, how do you even carry it? So they don't even make carrying cases for them yet. Went up to one, turned around, and he had two, one in each pocket. Hello? Oh, nope, not that one. And I'm like, glory to God, man. He done spent $2,000 or $3,000 on phones. Hallelujah, praise God. But how many knows if you need three phones, God can give you three phones? Hallelujah. You can have whatever you can believe God for. I'm not saying name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, none of that junk. The seekers find His will. The seekers have desires come up in them that is God for things in the natural. You know, just like the Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance. I got substance. I got a dump truck. I loan stuff out. I'm honoring the Lord with my substance. Right? Hallelujah. If I honor the Lord, helping people, I'm not going to help everybody. If I know you're going to burn my tractor down, I mean, you're not going to get it. But you know, I was thinking about this today. I was thinking, God, you didn't say you would humble us. People say, well, God will humble you, boy. He'll slap you down and humble you. And ain't nowhere in Scripture backs that up. The Bible says humble myself. For me to humble myself, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt me in due season. How many knows that's a choice? Humbling ourselves is a choice. To be humble means I'm not high-minded. It means I don't think too highly in light of God of myself. But at the same time, true humility will cause you to know I'm a king and a priest, but God. Well, you know what Jesus said? He said, come, learn of me. He said, learn how I am. He was trying to teach them. He said, I'm meek and lowly. Meek. I told the Lord one time, I said, Lord, I would really like to be meek like my pastor. My pastor is one of the most laid back, you couldn't get him upset, irritated guy. I've never seen my pastor mad. I've knew him for 30 years. I've really never seen him to the point of anger. And I thought, man, I need to be like that. How many of those the Bible says follow after those who through faith and patience inherit the promises? Right? But he's a joyous, prosperous man. He's a peacemaker, hallelujah. And that's what Jesus was. How many know Jesus was a peacemaker? He sure was. Hallelujah. He walked in authority. He was humble. He said, I come not to do my own will. He had to surrender that will. We have to surrender our will. Surrender our will to the will of God. But the will of God is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. He'll send you to Africa. Some of you ain't ready yet. He'll send you to Mexico. I went to Mexico, but Travis, he wanted something, and I told him, I said, what you need to do? I said, you need to take what you got and give it to somebody. I bought him a little S10, paid cash for it, and he's a big truck guy. He didn't want a little bitty truck. So I told him, I said, you pray and ask the Lord who you need to give it to. He was 15, 16. I said, ask the Lord who you need to sow it. Sow it and bleed for you a bigger one. That's what I told him. About 2 or 3 days goes by, and he said, I know who I'm supposed to give it to, Dad. I said, well, that's fine. He ain't been without a big truck his whole life ever since then. Hallelujah. The Bible says give. See, that's what training our children in the way they should go. Not just giving him everything, but teaching him how to follow God and obey the Lord and increase the way God wants you to increase. I know people abuse prosperity and they do it all to hoard up to theirself, but no, we got to be generous. We got to be givers. We got a purpose to be givers, purpose to be peacemakers, purpose to be led by the Holy Spirit, purpose to seek the Lord and whatever the Lord wills. And whatever the Lord wills, then he puts his grace and favor on it. And favor opens doors that wouldn't normally open. It don't open for everybody. God's favor. And I was thinking about how, just like the great, and I teach it here. I am anointed by the Lord. It's a gift from the Lord. It's not mine. I didn't even ask him for it, but he put it in me. This guy prophesied, and at this time I just wanted to be a blessing, and I didn't have the money to bless nobody, D. At the time that God spoke to me, and I was telling God about Deuteronomy over there, Deuteronomy 8:18, that was one of the scriptures that really came and stuck out to me. He was telling the Israelites at that time, and how many knows we're the children of God down generations later, right? He was talking to that generation. But when you read it and the Holy Spirit quickens you, the Lord told me, he said, it's me. Deuteronomy 8:18, he said, it says, it is the Lord your God that gives you power to obtain wealth, that he established his covenant with you. God quickened that to me, and I thought, man, God's going to give me power to get wealth? Well, this guy prophesied. He said, I see you with a fistful of dollars. Y'all got the same anointing. Y'all were connected by the will of God to me, to this place. And every church that they're under that anointing, and they get God connects you with the anointing that you need and the ministry that you need that you're going to need to accomplish and get ready for and go and demonstrate what He's called you to do. And He imparts to you. But God told me, I've anointed you to teach my people how to prosper. See, and it's not me. People are like, well, get connected over there, boy. You'll grow, you'll prosper if you go get over at Brother Scotty's church. People's told people that. And I'm like, I don't know about all that. It's according to if God sends you here or not. Right? Yeah. If they're supposed to be over yonder at that church, just because the move's going on over here and that's not what you move by. You don't move by that. Because you be led. That's right. You stand right where you're at and God will prosper you. If you're supposed to be here, I don't care if they say Jesus is over yonder, you don't go over there. Right? Somebody called me one time and somebody had come into town and they was in ministry and they didn't show up, you know, and didn't call me or nothing. I'd call them and I said, what's going on? What's wrong with y'all? Like, yeah, well, so-and-so was in town. I said, listen, I said, I don't care if Jesus comes to town. I said, you don't do that to us. Jesus didn't tell us to go over there this morning. Jesus told us to occupy where we're at. Be faithful where we're at. So I told him, I said, if you're going to be in ministry here, I don't care if Jesus shows up over yonder. You come on over here and do your part, then go see Him. I know y'all getting quiet. Well, you've got to have these truths in you. Praise God. You got to have it. You find the will of God. You find the will of God. These young kids don't even know what we're talking about. Find the will of God, your boyfriend. Find the will of God, your wife, your girlfriend. Right? And don't kiss them till you're married. Just don't even kiss them. Don't touch them. If you can't enjoy one another without any of that garbage, it's not real anyhow. It's flesh led. I mean, we told Travis, I mean, he's talking to some girl and he's dating Beth. And I told him, I said, I'm going to tell Beth. You're not going to do her like that. That's my son. I'd think kick him out of the house for doing that. He's that pretty young man that was singing up here. That cute one that looks like me. Yes, he does. That's the one that good looking guy. He looks like Dad. Right. But what was I doing? I was setting him up to stay with this one. Right here. Forever. They've got two kids. Right? I was setting him up then to stay. Stay. You only gonna marry one. You find the right one. You marry that one. Then you be committed. I mean, you got to be committed in marriage. I'd have done divorce 18,000 times if I wasn't committed. Sometimes I don't feel love. No, I made a commitment. Love is not a feeling most of the time. Love is a commitment. I'm sure Jesus didn't feel very lovely on the cross. I'm sure, but the Bible says for the joy that He knew that me and you were coming into this kingdom, He endured the cross. How many know? Well, all these young kids, they just like go with a click. I told Aubrey, they see something going on over there. I said, oh, it don't matter, baby. I said, they just don't know what they're missing in you. I said, it don't matter. I'm encouraging her not to think evil of them. And don't think evil of them and all of that. Teaching her to be independent, feeling good about myself without anybody. See, I never fit in too much with pastors. They want to get together, and I'm not against it. I did with my pastor, you know. But I never, I told the Lord one time when He had me going to some of these meetings, you know, and I didn't agree with a lot of things they done in their church. I won't name off some of it because I don't. And I told the Lord, I said, I'm not giving in to this stuff, Lord. I said, I don't really know why you got me down. But later on, I had to learn how to honor them that I didn't believe was honorable. I had to learn to honor them and leave my opinion in my truck. Right? And I learned through that, that's none of my business. They got revival going on up yonder, you know, and I can watch it and I'd be like, isn't that special about it? And then I'll shut it off and I'll say, that ain't none of my business. I need to keep my nose down here in my business. Right? Well, I'm talking to you too. That's keep your nose out of everybody's business. Uh-oh. I had Monty to look it up. And thank God for these phones, man. I asked Monty where something was. It was Romans 12:18, I believe it was. Paul said, all that lies within Scotty, I'll put me in it, live peaceable with all men. Everything that lies in me that's possible for me to live peaceable. How many knows there's blessings comes along with that? Y'all go to school and they want to talk about other kids in school in front of you. You need to tell them, nah, let's don't do that. Jesus wouldn't talk about them. Right? You go to the workplace. And they want to talk about people. Don't get involved in it. Blessed is the what? Peacemaker. You got to come back and say, well, you know, maybe they Teresa taught me that. She said, we got to think the best of everybody. I thought, man, she's been reading 1 Corinthians 13. Now she's whooping me with it. Because how many knows when you deal with people and stuff like that, you can get critical. You can get a bitter spirit. You can get unforgiveness. And it causes you to stumble. It causes you to live without joy and without peace. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you know what? Just like our thoughts, did you know your thoughts are spiritual? Ungodly thought comes to you, it's spiritual. You can see thoughts manifest in the actions. You can see people that cast down, I'm talking about Christians now, they cast down them ungodly thoughts and all of that stuff, you know, and then you see them walk it out because they slapped them down. They slapped them. I mean, devil comes to you and says, you're washed up, pray God, you got attacks on your body, this and that. You got to take that thought. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of these strongholds, casting down imaginations, thoughts, bringing every thought into captivity. You know, I was a real jealous guy. You wouldn't think so, but I was. I mean, I got a lot. I got a beautiful wife, you know, and so anyways. But I done overcome all that jealousy stuff. It's fear. Jealousy is simply fear. Fear of losing something you love or something like that. It's fear. That's all it is. And it will tear you apart. And so I'd overcame that and everything. Well, then she's on the internet. Every time I'd come in, she'd be on the internet. And I had this thought, wonder if she's talking to somebody on there. How many knows that was a spiritual thought? That come from the dark side. And so I'd ponder on it every now and then. I'd be like, she is. Every time I go, she is. I convinced myself, Satan convinced me that she was probably having an affair on the internet. And so every time I'd go in, what you doing on the internet? What you doing? See, I didn't cast the thought down. Now I meditated on thought, and then the thought was manifesting. Absolutely manifesting. And so we kind of, this been years ago, we'd get into it. I'd be mad and get mad and all that and still knock holes in the wall and all of that stuff, you know. I quit blowing my vehicles up, but I'm still, you know. And then if she got mad at me, I'd go make sure all the shells were out of the guns that we'd finally attained. How many know the prisons are full of people that didn't bring thoughts into captivity? They're full of them. Satan give them thoughts to do ungodly deeds and evil deeds, and they yielded, and that's a manifestation, most of it, of it. You know? Well, a lot of us would be there, jail, prison, or dead, had we not started thinking different. Right? give our heart to Jesus, learning that Bible, and now we live a totally different life. I mean, I almost shot a bird the other day. You believe it? I mean, it felt really good. I mean, I just wanted to, you know, and I did go, pow, to the guy. Well, I didn't have a gun. Well, the dude was making me mad. No, the dude was giving me opportunity to get mad. And so I just done a gun thing, like that, you know. I'm like, dude, I would love to shoot you right now. I didn't do nothing to you. You thought I was going to turn, but I didn't turn. That was your fault. It was road rage. But I wanted to shoot him a bird. I thought, oh, it would feel so good if I could just shoot him a bird and let him know, oh God, I know I'm a pastor, but I need to let it all hang out. I didn't, so y'all were safe. You know? And I went on and I thought, oh my God, what if he turns around and comes after me? And I thought, oh well, I'm still real. You know, if he comes out, he don't want to come after me, man, because I'll just pull off the road. I'm under pressure anyways. I mean, oh, this stuff is spiritual thoughts, and they're demonic. You know, I mean, and then I thought, I cast them down, and I said, he's not going to come back in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, he won't come back. Hey, we got to believe God in these tough stuff. Thank you, Lord. I got myself in a trap here, Lord. If he come, he might be big dude. I don't know. I didn't look at him. I can't get no equalizer no more. If I'm on the wrong side of the warfare, I'm game. Hallelujah. You know, it's funny now, praise God, but that stuff happens to us, see? But that wasn't being a peacemaker. At that moment, I wasn't trying to make peace. I wasn't, sorry, dude. I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry, dude. No, I'm like, shoot you, dude. That's not peacemaker. I shouldn't even told y'all that. I repent right now. Confession is made to salvation, right? But you know what? See, I mean, I preach it here. There ain't nobody got the power to cause me to stumble. Nobody holds that power. Nobody holds enough power to get you angry. You choose. I choose. We have to choose. God told him over there, I believe it's in Deuteronomy, he said, I set before you life and death, blessing. Choose life. He said, you choose it. And I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus walked in authority. Demons obeyed him. Right? He told the disciples, I'm going to teach you. One translation, he says, I'm going to teach you. Learn how I am. Learn to do the way that I do. And you know what? Storms didn't move him. I mean, he spoke to natural things and they obeyed him, right? I mean, the Bible says that he's hanging on the cross, and the Bible says that there was legions of angels waiting at his command. All he had to do was say, get me off this cross. Well, you know what? The Bible says that the angels of God hearkened to the voice of the word of the Lord. Well, you know what? What voice that they're talking about? The voice that men you are speaking under the authority of God. And when we decide to walk, and that's walking in love. We can put any label you want on it. But we got to work on ourselves. You know, I was thinking about salvation without sacrifice is not real. Jesus sacrificed his life. Everything is conditional with us of the promises of God, even salvation. It was already yours, but you didn't obtain it till you submitted, right? It was conditional for you. It's for everybody. Jesus died. Every person on this planet has a ticket to heaven. Every person on this planet has a ticket to heaven. But it's not God making anybody. They have to choose to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus, which is a good thing. He's not a hard taskmaster. He said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly. He said, and you will find rest for your weary soul. There's rest in surrendering to the will of God. And I thought about it. I thought, WWJD, they had these bracelets back under in the 80s, 90s, and what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And I started thinking about it. I know Jesus cast out devils. You know, and they would bring it in, man. You got to come out of that sin, and you got to come out of that, and you got to blah, 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 blah. I mean, you know, you got to do that, you got to do. And the Lord told me, He said, you let me bring you out. He said, you just love me. You come after me. You serve me, and I'll change you from the inside out. Some people ain't got no hang-ups in the natural flesh stuff, but they got gossip problems. They've got bitter problems. They've got critical problems. They're critical of others, you know. These things are even deeper than the little fleshites. The little fleshite hang-ups. Because you know what? The more that He transforms me and you on the inside by believing that He is a good God, that He is for you, He's not against you, He's not looking for a reason to take you out because you're not perfect. He's trying to get us to believe for the goodness of God. Believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Everything that I've asked God for that would come out of my heart, God has did it for me. The Bible says in Psalms over there, delight yourself. You're delighting in the Lord tonight, you know, coming to church. That's part of delight yourself in the Lord. That means, God, I want your will, not my will. And if God tells you to go and do something, you know, I was listening to a preacher the other day, and he said, you know, he said, I was in the car. He said, and I sat at the red light, and I was all by myself. He said, and all of a sudden, he said, I had a revelation. He said, do y'all want to hear it? And everybody's like, well, yeah, sure, we'd like to hear it. He said, he went on and told us, he said, I had a revelation that God was smarter than me. He said, and I know, he said, you can know. He said, but when that revelation come, he said, I know. He said, I knew then that I need to trust God with my whole life. Because He knows better than me. He knows what I need. He knows what will satisfy me. He knows, you know, when I was thinking about that, I thought when this guy offered me to go to Mexico, and I told him, I said, God ain't told me to Mexico, and I am not flying over them sharks. Man, what if that plane goes down? You know, and then I found out at the airport, you know, that you can get cocktails and stuff up there, you know, And I'm thinking, oh, my God. Well, we got up there, you know, and I said, give me some orange juice and peanuts. And they brought them back there, and all of a sudden we hit turbulence. And that plane went and shook, and I mean it's moving. And I thought, oh, my God, the pilots done went and got drunk. He's drunk or something, man. I mean, fear and all that stuff, you know. But what I'm saying, I went on, you know, and I'm praying and fasting, and I felt like God told me to go. He said, I want you to give them a generator. I want you to go help him build that church over, build a church over our missionary in Oneonta. Still going in his 80s, I guess, now. But anyhow, you know, I said, okay, Lord. I thought, man, I got to leave Teresa for a week. I got to leave home for a week. I can't preach at my church for a week or however long it was, you know. And then I thought, but God, you know what I need. See, that right there is what He's talking about. If God wants you to do something, we just say, He knows best. He knows best. He knows. And just be. And then if He says, now you don't want that, don't, you know, He was telling the story. He said, the Lord said, you don't want that. He said, I know you have to do it by faith. Okay, you're right, Lord. Well, He's smarter than we are, right? Hallelujah. He told us to go to that church up yonder, and we went up there, and they had all the radical music like we have, and I was used to the piano and the hymn books. Nothing wrong with them. And I thought, up there, I thought, man, these are a bunch of these holy rollers up here. I mean, they're holy rollers, man. They got a guitar, they got the bass, got a real cute worship leader. He was cute. I thought he was cute, so I didn't want to go there on account of him. Jealous. I was jealous of Teresa, right? I know it sounds stupid, but you know what? God put me before that cute guy because God wanted me to face me. God wanted me to overcome in the church. I mean, I had to cast down thoughts, look over at Teresa and see if she's looking. And then he would go and he'd do the last course 15 minutes. And I'm like, ugh, man, I'd shoot him if I had a gun. It's over and over. Has he got to do it over and over? What was God doing? God was whittling me down. God was getting Scotty out of the way, and I endured that. And you know what? That was one of the best churches I've ever been in my life, but God. Once I got to walking in the Spirit in church, I enjoyed it. I stood up one time because I felt like, man, they love us so much in here. If I got homeless, they'd let me live in their basement. I got up and testified. And I bet a bunch of them like, oh, my God, I hope he don't get homeless. He ain't coming to my house. It wasn't the way that I felt. But that was me, see. I'm in the Spirit. I'm feeling love. I'm in the will of God. And I felt like these people love me like y'all feel. Y'all feel that. Y'all that's just following the Lord and you know the Lord wants you here, you feel that way. You feel that way, but now you have to tolerate me. Yes. And I have to tolerate you. But we gonna make it. Amen. Why? Because we are like God. If we're for you, who can be against you? Right? Hallelujah, praise God. So I want to encourage you, endeavor to be the peacemaker. Just start working on it. Just do it. If you ain't saved, you need to get born again. You need to give your heart to Jesus Christ so you can walk in this power that I'm talking about. It's not for everybody. It's for everybody that wills their will. That's who's going to walk in it. And you will prosper. You will have a good life. He will increase you more and more according to His Word. He'll enlighten things to you. The more that I walk with God, the more that His will opens up to me. I'm doing one job this week. I'm making more in one week than I made in a long time. And I'm not telling you because it ain't none of your business. Believe for your own stuff and get your own increase. I mean, making more money off of one job used to take me 3 or 4 years. To make that kind of money. Years! And I'm going to make it in a week. 4 days! It ain't even 4 days. We're half a day people. I told the mother, I said, we're working till 2 o'clock. I said, I'm not pulling 12 hours anymore. The blessing of the Lord making me rich and don't add all these hours to me. But God, I'm going to believe that. I preach it here, might well believe it, right? And come home at 2 o'clock, take me a nap, go get in my garden the rest of the evening. Right? Yes. Told him, I said, I needed to work full day today, so we're working till lunch. Why? This is Wednesday. I'm going to get rested up for God. I'm going to come home. I'm going to get ready for church. Travis, he looked up at me and said, I won't be there tonight, Dad. We had a hard day. I said, it's 11:30. I said, go home, take a nap, man. Go home, get you a nap. Wore out 11:30. He was messing with me. I ain't coming tonight because I'm tired of that day. I'm going to be like a bunch of the other ones. Praise God, hallelujah. How many knows He gives these things to the faithful? You see, God did not ask us to give our heart to Jesus and then figure out life. He said, give your heart to Jesus. Now seek me. And you'll find me. Ask and knock and the door will be open. Seek me in the things of your life, praise God. And I will give you my inspiration, my insight, hallelujah. Well, you know what? This job's over. I'm thinking, but God, I believe my way up to here, pray God, I might as well believe it on up. Might as well climb on up that ladder, hallelujah, praise God. Might as well believe for a job, make double what I made this week. Y'all ought to believe it too. God may want you to own that company. God may want to put you, He may be training you right now. If you're sitting on your couch, you ain't in training. He don't anoint us sitting on the couch. Us men are we're supposed to be working. Somebody say working's anointed.
Working's anointed.
I hate to say it, Monty, but it come out of the Bible. If a man don't work, he gets a check in the mail every week. If a man don't work, you don't eat. See, I had to ask God, God help me stop being a quitter. I quit my job when I got mad. Because I don't think I was lazy. I just didn't want to work. I mean, when I ain't working, I'm doing something, man. I mean, I go dig out scrap iron for, you know, that's hard work, out of the ground, hauling it off. I would have been better off clocking in, robbing somebody. You know? But I had to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to like the works of my hands. Lord, help me to like work so I can get a job and be faithful. I mean, those y'all young men get a job right now, keep it 30 years, you retire at 50. Draw you a good salary from 50 on, right? You can save $20 a week and be a millionaire in 50 years. Hallelujah. Before you know it, the banks will be like, you'll be like, hey, man, I just heard it the other day. Guy had some money in there. Other bank offered him 2.5% more interest on his money. And he goes over there to the bank and he said, I want to draw this out. Why are you drawing all this out? He said, because these other people are going to give me 2.5% percent on my money. Well, we're going to match it. He said, no, you're going to have to beat more than match it because they're going to match. You should have done had it matched. Well, what I'm saying, you ought to believe God for that guy. He'd been serving God. He believed the John 10:10 thing over there. He believed for the favor of God. He believed to be living more than enough. Now he's letting his money work for him, making him money. Well, I've watched people do it, so I started doing it. Why not? I told the Lord, I said, oh, Lord, I come through when I didn't have enough, like the Egyptians down there. I still got a minute, guys. The Egyptians down there, I didn't tell you I was fixing clothes. I don't lie. I just don't say it. I just keep going. Yeah. Well, anyways, the Israelites. And Lord, you brought them out in the wilderness and you they had just enough every day. And then, but you was taking them, you was trying. See, the Bible says that he tested their hearts to see if they believed his word or not. And so I told the Lord in my life, you brought me out of Egypt. You brought me into the wilderness. You're taking me to the promised land. All of my dreams, house, cars. You know, he don't care for you having all that stuff long as it don't have you. When he blesses you, don't forget him. Don't think you don't need him anymore. I need him now more than ever because you know what? All of that stuff don't mean nothing when you're in battles. What means something to you is to know that your God is still on your side and God will deliver you and God will bring healing to your body and all of that. Don't lay down your healing. I'm attacked with stuff all the time, and when I get into where I feel like I can't go sometimes, I tell the Lord, I'm in your strength, Lord. I've watched you. I told him the other day, I said, I've seen Paul nigh unto death, God, and I've seen you raise him back up. If you did it through the Apostle Paul, you'll do it for anybody, praise God. Well, you know what? Believe God. Believe, and I'm believing with you. I'm saying, God, the same anointing that you put on my life is not for me, it's for them. But I'm just getting to enjoy it. That's why you can't get me to quit teaching y'all how to prosper. Because, bless God, he that waters is watered back, right? He said, if you water, you'll be watered, hallelujah. So I'm watering y'all. I'm going to get watered back, the Bible says, hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, if you're not born again, go talk to Jesus tonight. Go to your house, lay down, praise God, and we're fixing to have a baptism. I think a bunch of them want to be baptized. I'm going to get it here. I'm going to get the baptismal thing here next week or two, and we're going to have a baptismal service here. So I'm baptized. So give your heart to Jesus between now and then, and we can get you quickly baptized. It won't take 3 years. We'll just go ahead and get you baptized. Hey, and he asked me, he said, Papa, I baptized him in a swimming pool. He said, Papa, how long are you going to keep me under? And I thought, Lord, will teach him a lesson. I said, I don't know. I've not thought about it. I said, I'm just going to dunk you and back up. He's wondering, he's been practicing holding his breath. You know how them kids does, stay how long they stay under. So he figures, Papa will keep me under a long time because I can hold my breath. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you and we thank you, Father, tonight. We thank you, Lord.